Benny, class 6 out of 6 down, 5 down, 25 to go. We look forward, and then we can talk about doing the other 120 after the first, 30. But Bakasha, Sefer Tehillim, welcome everybody. Nice to see everybody, and we'll get started right away. Bakasha.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to meet, to learn Tehillim. This lecture will deal with the last unit in the first book. As we said in the past, there are five books. The first book is from chapter 35 to 41, from chapter 1 to chapter 41. And we are now dealing with the last unit. I want to try to analyze and to present the story, the narrative of book 4. I want to show it as a reaction to Mizmor Lamed Dalet, which we studied last week. And I would like to take two chapters to compare at the beginning and at the end of this unit. And it's a very interesting phenomena. We called it the twin Mizmorim. It's not really a twin. It is quite different, but there are similar features which I would like to point out. We can learn a lot by close reading. I would like to take one Mizmor 36 to read. It's a short one, and it will show the personal growth, the personal development and attitude of the psalmist. And I have only one example to show the influence from the entire book from the beginning to the end. It's actually a frame. I have much more, but I will present here only one in order to have more time to compare a lot of analogies between Tehillim and Sefer Yeshayahu. This unit is a big challenge because we have to learn not only the text, which is not that easy to identify the structure. It has a different structure, and we'll talk about it. There are a lot of analogies to Sefer Yeshayahu, which are very meaningful, very meaningful. And I would like to show that Chazal actually understood it in the most beautiful midrash, which you are seeing right here. The midrash says the following. Ben Azai haya yoshev v'doresh, v'ha'esh melahetet svivotav. Amru le'ishema besidrei merkavata osek, amar lahem lav ela machriz divrei Torah le'nevi'im, u'nevi'im le'ktuvim, v'divrei Torah smechim k'yom netinatam besinai. Ikar netinatam v'esh nitna, v'lachen v'hada u'dichtiv v'ar bo'er v'esh. So what did he do, Ben Azai? He was surrounded by fire, by a special desire and the fire, how to learn Torah. What was the reason for that? Because he was, it's an interesting word, machriz. It goes back to a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, but it can be, you put them together in a certain rhyming or in a connecting. He was connecting the books of the Torah to Nevi'im, and Nevi'im to Ketuvim. So I think it's a very appropriate midrash to talk about intertextuality. That was an enthusiastic experience for him to see how everything is connected. We call that in the modern science of the literature of the Bible, intertextuality. One text talks to the other. How fascinating that Chazal had this very special awareness as a very special experience of learning the Torah in this Midrash, which is 2000 years older than this modern approach. I want to show that, and it is a big, big key to understand, of course, Tehillim is connected to Sifrei Shmuel, where the story about David is told. But it is connected to Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and many other books. And I would like to show these connections today and in the shiur, in the lecture next week, which is really a fire from Matan Torah. I encourage you to be sure you have a good fire insurance. I want to have a big fire to show these connections, which bring a new insight of learning Sefer Tehillim and the Tanakh. And we can get impressed by this wonderful, the art of learning Tanakh. Meir Weiss, professor in Jerusalem, was a great scholar and researcher of Tehillim. And he created the approach that every Mizmor has his own world, a holistic approach. And I want to focus in this shiur, in this whole lecture, on the context, how all the Mizmorim are connected. And in parallel, I take a look at the intertextuality. There is a wonderful website by Rabbi Hillel Novetzky, Jerusalem, called Ala Torah, which was very helpful. He started that only a few years ago, and I work on this research for 9 years, so it's extremely helpful. It has an English version, so you can search there. It's really helpful, and you can check it yourself. So here, the summary of the shiur, in order to give a clear overview, what I want to show. We show that the first book has an introduction, a prologue of 1 and 2, talking about the Torah and the kingdom in Yerushalayim, the evil in the world, survival in the image of God, as we show here. And afterwards, we have better midot, good moral qualities. The example is King David. And in the third unit, we have here the guidance from God's kingdom in the world. We get closer to him. And at the end, he is looking for guidance. And at the end, he is the teacher to teach others. These three units, 1, 2, 3, have a clear beginning and end, and the axis in the middle. Furthermore, the axis in the middle is beautifully surrounded by 2 adjacent mizmorim before and afterwards. And there is, it's like a teaching from above. That's the way you thrive on one side, the first part of the unit, and afterwards you celebrate it. You do better by having understood the axis. So it is a Torah mesuderet. It's all structured. The fourth part does not have this structure. And I'm in touch with 2 wonderful scholars, Professor Barbiero, Gianni Barbiero in Rome, and Professor Georg Braulig in Vienna, who helped me to understand that they did wonderful research. And I have had another opinion, and I was blessed that they listened to my approach, and they both agreed and gave me very interesting ideas, and they actually thought it's right. What's the approach to understand the fourth unit, which lacks this ABC, CBD structure with the axis in the middle? You can't find it. You can do whatever you try. It doesn't work. I don't think it works. It's not reading the text. It's coming with your own ideas. There is a flow in the fourth unit, which has a very special meaning, which I will present in a moment. And chapter 40 is repeated in chapter 70. The repetitions in the Bible are a big pain if you don't understand them. You lose trust, a certain understanding of the Bible. But if you see how each mizmor develops a certain thought and the flow with an increase, with a crescendo of the idea, it starts to be very meaningful. I will try to show that. Afterwards, we will see how the beginning and the end of the first book is strongly connected by 2 words which appear only here in Sefer Tehillim. And there are a very meaningful frame of the first book. I want afterwards to come in the last part to compare Psukim Sefer Yeshayahu and Sefer Tehillim, while in between I will present here Mizmor Lamedvav as a typical example. So I will not present this slide, but here I have a personal problem. I learned Tanakh by preparing these charts, these comparisons, which I think are the basis. I cannot teach it. I can have even a hard time to find a good format to show it, because you need a special mind for details and details and read it over and over. I do it for many years. So it is not something I can show, but I cannot present it without showing it, because I have the data and I believe I found something by looking very carefully at these analogies. If you want, and that's the reason I show it, you print this sheet out and you read all the mizmorim from 35 to 41. Here is a short description, and here are all the parallels and the analogies. And if you look at that without any explanation, you will see, oh, it's the same idea which comes in another form. That's the reason I show it. And that's also the reason I don't present it, because it's extremely detail-oriented. But for your own reading, I hope you will enjoy. Now I have the challenge to prepare to present the entire fourth unit on one slide. Let's remember that the last unit, the third unit from 25 to 34, was the beginning. I'm looking for guidance, and at the end, he gets the guidance. when he gets the guidance, he is happy that he got the guidance and was saved. And as a result, he turns himself, he wants to be a teacher. And he tells his students, Lechu vanim shimuli, yirat Hashem alam nedchem, come, my students, my sons, listen to me, I want to teach you the fear of God. Where does that happen? That is a pasuk, which is a beautiful program, a beautiful statement that he wants to do something, but where is the response to this declaration? It happens here. If we read these seven chapters in the flow, you will see there is a student who listens carefully. He takes the messages he learned in 34 and he applies them in his life. We have a really good student. We have the very same mechanism in chapter 145 at the very end of Sefer Tehillim. It will take a little while till we get there, but it is the same mechanism. Tehillah leDavid is afterwards applied in the following five chapters. It's a very, very interesting and elegant mechanism that to show one statement, the declaration, is applied and developed in the following mizmorim. I want to remember here a famous rabbi, Klonimus Kalman Shapira Mipyashetzna, who was killed in the Holocaust, and he was an outstanding educator. He wrote a book, one of his wonderful books is Chovat HaTalmidim, the Duty of the Students. A very, very interesting book influenced by Talmudic resources and Hasidic approach and a wonderful love to his students. And this idea of Chovat HaTalmidim has nothing to, he didn't say anything about Tehillim, what I'm going to say now, but it reminds me very, very much that we have in 34, the teacher who tells, Lechu vanim shimuli yarat Hashem alam etchem. And afterwards we see the students, how they absorb the teaching of their rabbi, how they apply it, how they realize all these values in their personal life. And that is what I want to show with these arrows. Lamed Dalet has a long tail. It continues over the next chapters. I will show it to you in a few examples. In chapter 37, the notion of Yerushat Haaretz, to come to Eretz Yisrael, is mentioned seven times. It is written, Lamed Zayin, in the same acrosticon of Aleph Bet, a different flow, a little bit longer, and it has the same word. The sentence, Sur Mera V'aseh Tov, appears twice in the Bible. Four words, turn away from the bad ways and do the good things. Sur Mera V'aseh Tov, from 34, is repeated in 37. 37 is considered a wisdom psalm, which is actually the understanding of 34 by the student happens in 37. So it's a response. And here we have four very, very standard words. Amalti, I thought, I reflected, I was wondering. Amalti has several meanings. Very often it is mentioned here, Amalti, I was talking to myself. So these four mizmorim, where Amalti appear four times in a row, in four adjacent mizmorim, actually tells us the student makes his own cheshbon nefesh, his own reflections. And he tries to respond, whatever I learned before, so how do I take it? What does it mean for me? That is the idea of the fourth unit. It says here, you will think about the Torah daily. And here, the Torah is written, the entire Torah is written on his body. He internalized it on his body. He is the personification of Limud Torah. We will look at this pasuk later. And here we have something very unique, that after this teaching in 37, there are two mizmorim where it says, the meshorer, the psalmist says, be quiet, be silent, and hope for God. That changes in chapter 4 when he says, I'm not silent anymore. I'm not closing my mouth. God gave me a beautiful tehillah in my mouth. So there is a flow. To be silent twice here, and afterwards his voice is very loud. He teaches others. They are connected by a contradictory continuity. It continues the same idea, but now in the opposite way, al derech hanigut. And here we have a wonderful word, which is kaveh, tikva, hope. It says in 37, you should hope for Hashem, and those who hope for Hashem, they will come to Eretz Yisrael. Hope for Hashem and follow his path. I was hoping for you, Hochalti, and at least in chapter 40, he says, God, I was hoping all the time. You did it. I got it. Thank you. So this hope and this pondering silence during the hope is a result at the end. We did it. Interesting that the word tikva and the hymnon of Israel has a very interesting background. Kaveh is actually a line. Kav, a line. Where I am today and where I want to get to, that is called kav, a line. It is called tikva. And it is mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua as a rope where people were hanging on the rope, tikvat chut hashani. So that's a very interesting idea. Today, he hopes he wants to get there. And he is quiet, and he hopes, and he doesn't say a word, and he hopes. And at the end, he gets there, and he says, got it. I got where I was hoping all the years to get to. That is the theme, the leitmotif, the topic which flows along these mizmorim. And we have other expressions here, which are called Yigdal Hashem, Hamagdilim Alai. I cannot elaborate it, but you have here the references to these psukim, so you can see exactly this context. I want to show you now, and as I promised, I have a lot of examples, and that where I feel at home to read the examples, but I will show you only a selected choice of these samples. Here we have 37, 34, which we discussed last week, and I used the knowledge from last week. We discussed this mizmor, and I have here expressions which are white on black. If it is white on black, it's mentioned in the entire Sefer Tehillim only here. Two places in Tehillim have one word or part of a sentence only in these two mizmorim, 34 and 35. That has a meaning. What is the meaning of that? Old classical non-Jewish researchers said, I'm sorry to tell you, what they say is the psalmist has not a very creative vocabulary. What he said before, he repeats here. So I'm really sorry for these people because they made outstanding observations, but they didn't understand the beauty. These, to take one idea and flow with this idea to the next level is not a poor vocabulary. Is a deep understanding how psychologically we take one idea and move forward. I want to show that to you in the following examples. Out of these examples, I will address the following. In 34, it says, Bakesh shalom verotfehu. Follow, inquire, try to search for peace, and you should run after it. In 35, he lives in a hostile environment. And he is surrounded by people who are chasing him. Likrat rotfai, mevakshei nafshi, umalach Hashem rotfam. The same words are mentioned here, but it is exactly the opposite. It has also the word at shlom avadav, which I didn't show here. It's a mistake here. Shlom avadav, hechafet shlom avadav. Look here, this example. 34 was asking, it is the person who wants shalom, and by that, Hashem will save all his servants, all his avadim, he will save them from all problems. In chapter 35, the Mishorel says, the psalmist says, Yomru tamid yigdal Adonai, hechafetz shalom avdo. Look at this beautiful, beautiful biblical art of poetry. Outstanding. Hechafetz in 34 is the man who is searching for life, for values. In chapter 35, it is God who is searching and trying to protect his servant and give him peace, protection. That's a response, a request in 34 is answered, is replied in 35. The word, the sentence, Hechafetz Shlom Avdo, are the same words which we see in 34. Here it is a request by man, and here it is an answer by Hashem. In chapter 36, the opening, the heading is Lamnatzeach Le'evet Hashem, a song written by the servant of Hashem, David. So we have Evet, Evet, Evet in 34, 35, and 36. In 35, the teacher promises, if you follow the Torah and Yirat Hashem, nobody will blame you. Nobody will attack you. But what happened in 35? He is surrounded by a hostile environment. So he says, all who are against me, all my enemies, they should be ashamed. They should be blamed for what they do, because they do bad things. So here we have both sides of the coin, the positive Aliyach Baru for the servant who has Yirat Hashem, and the opposite here. Of course, these are wonderful connections, which we can observe. The list is much longer. In 34, it says, Netzor l'shonecha mera u'sfatecha midaber mirma. Do not talk bad things. Do not be a liar. Be straight. Be honest. In 35, he says, I'm totally surrounded by enemies who focus only ki lo shalom yedaberu v'al rigei eretz divrei mirmot yachshuvum. It's exactly the opposite. It seems that the teacher in 34 knew exactly what to teach. He wants to train his students how to reply, how to respond to an environment which is very difficult and hostile. Teach the value Sirat Hashem. If you can prove it works, that will be wonderful. At the end, we say Hashem in Mizmor 34, Hashem protects the bones of his servants. But at the end, in 34, it says, all my bones will sing a song for Hashem. So it's not only a protection of my bones, it's a wonderful religious activation of all my bones who will sing for Hashem. It's like the Atzamot Yevishot from Sefer Yechezkel. So I showed you here the flow from 34 to the entire unit number 4. And now I want to show you something which might be a big, big pain. There are two chapters, 34 and 35 and 40, which appear very similar. They're not identical, but very similar. So the classical way to explain that by a lot of scholars is, or the writer, the author of chapter 4, he was blind, or he was deaf when he repeated it, or he had dementia or dyslexia because he repeated something for it sees no reason. So they explain was 40 at the beginning and afterwards 35, or the other way around. That is a very, very poor way to approach Limud Torah. If we say it is a repetition and somebody made it by mistakes, he couldn't read, he couldn't hear, he couldn't think, he has a memory loss. It's not the solution I want to suggest to you. And I want to suggest a very careful reading, because the problem gets even bigger. If we do it this way, it is very frustrated. The attitude of it's meaningless and blind, deaf, and memory loss is not the way it works. We have another chapter, 70, which is almost identical, not exactly, almost to chapter 40. And it's at the end of the second book. I want to encourage you to look at the location of these three chapters. What they have a strategic place in the book of Tehillim, in the two first books of Tehillim. The first one describes David, King David's teaching, and that is his life, his political, his social and political life. And there is a very special reason why it is repeated. I want to change the attitude of deaf, memory loss, and dyslexia to a deeper, respectful understanding. If we don't have a respectful approach to the text, nothing intelligent will come out. Yeah, it will be memory loss, deaf, he was deaf, or made mistakes by copying it. And if we look at it very, very carefully, we will find a wonderful insight. So that's what I want to show you here. At the end of book two, King David is old. In chapter 71:9, it says, "Al tashlicheni le'et zikna." Don't put me in a very, very old age status when I lose my energy. In chapter 72, he empowers his son to continue his kingdom, Shlomo. And at the end of 72, at the very end of chapter of the second book, it says, "Kolut filot David ben Ishai." These are biographical notes or narrative keys to understand the book. That's the old King David, who says what he says here. He repeats it by intention, not because he has a memory loss when he starts to repeat old stories all day. No, if we do it this way and we understand why it is repeated, we will come to a most fascinating, respectful insight in the psychology of King David and in the religious world of educational world of King David. Here we have the three Mizmorim, which deserve a full analysis, each of them. I can't do it. I want to say the overview. So here you have the text, and what I showed in white on red, or in the English, black on red background, is exactly the same word which appears in the Bible only here. By doing so, these three Mizmorim are connected. Red is the same text, but not specifically only here. You can appreciate from looking at that, it's very similar. 35 and 40 have very specific notes and a lot of same expressions. It's a semantic field. But if we look at 40 and 70, it's basically identical with minor changes. So I want to analyze that. And the beauty will be if you analyze it and you read the chapters during your studies at 9 to 9, you will see it with your own eyes, and it is fantastic. It is fascinating. What's the difference? The difference here is that in chapter 35, he says, "I will be happy if I'm saved. My enemies should not be happy. The enemies should not enjoy. He is afraid from Schadenfreude. He doesn't want others to enjoy that he is in trouble. He wants to survive." In chapter 40, it's not only those who try to kill him, he is talking to those who are looking for Hashem. If we compare here, "V'yomru tamid yigdal Adonai hechafetz shlom avdo," praise should be Hashem who protects his servant. Here it says, no, "Yomru tamid yigdal Adonai ohavei tshuatecha," who everybody who is interested in Hashem. He expands his vision, his horizons. It's not my story, "I wanted to survive," 35. It's a message of everybody else. So he looks at other people. And that is the change. If he was here in survival fear, how will I survive my enemies? Here, he wants to survive them. But he wants that everybody survives them because he talks about others. A close reading will show you how beautiful it is. Furthermore, there are changes between 40 and 70. In 40, it says, it's the same as more, but 70 repeats it with a little apology. "Lamnatzeach leDavid lehazkir." If you reach chapter 70, people say it's the same text like 40. Lehazkir, nobody really knows what it means. You don't need to be Einstein to understand that. If he repeats a text and says it for a second time, he says it for a good reason. I want to remember where I was as a young man. Here is an old man. When he is an old man and he writes an autobiography, he says, "Once I was in trouble. That was keeping me alive, that my own survival was for the benefit of others. But for the benefit of others today has different nuance." What are the different nuances? It says here, "Lahaskir, I remember these days." He was praying that all the enemies should be killed. Yashomu al ekev boshtam. And here he says, "No, I'm an old man. I survived them. They should just go back and leave me alone." Yashuvu al ekev boshtam. By changing one word, one letter, he has a totally different environment, a different atmosphere, a totally different message. Here he is still fighting. Here he is not fighting. He wishes them best. Just enemies, leave me alone. Here he was talking about his own threat. Ha'omrim li he'ach he'ach. He is not mentioning here ha'omrim li he'ach he'ach. They have a bad attitude of ha'omrim he'ach he'ach. But what he's doing here in chapter 17, he is surrounded by three mizmorim. He cares about Am Yisrael in 69. And in 71, he is engaged in learning Torah and Tehillah. And he wants the kingdom for his son. So he further opens his horizon in chapter 70. That's the message for my son, for our kingdom, for our nation. So what we have here is like a post-traumatic coping system of King David. He is in trouble, but when he is saved, he wants to teach others. And he cares for others surrounding him. And he wants to teach them. But at the end, it's not only his surrounding. It's the legacy of the king for entire Am Yisrael. That is a beauty. And here he has a religious experience. I want to show that to you by another example, not exactly from 40 and 70, but from the first book at the end, not really at the end, and this end of the second book. We have the same pasuk. Heyeli letzur ma'oz. Levet mitzudot lehor she'eini. In 71 it says heyeli letzur ma'on lavot tamit tzivita lehor she'eini. You see four identical words in the same sentence, the same syntax, but instead of saying you are my ma'oz in war, you are my rock and a place for refuge and a stronghold, beit mitzudot, a fortress. That is where he is fighting. He is surrounded by enemies. Here he's not surrounded by enemies. He is here getting Kirvat Hashem. And he changes three words in between. Ma'on, ma'oz is ma'on. The same letters, one is changed. Levet, mitzudot, the same letters, and some of them are changed. That's the beauty of biblical literature and of the philosophy. He is moving ahead. An old man has another perspective to look at his own life retrospectively in his life. That is outstanding, the way how King David shows us how to translate his terrible experiences during his lifetime to another experience and the legacy for his children. It's not a boring repetition because he was deaf or he was dyslexic or memory loss. He says clearly, as an old man, lahaskir, I remember where I was when I was in trouble. That is the beauty, which I think if you read the Mizmorim, you can enjoy it and witness it in see it in the text. And that is an outstanding example that proper analysis will bring you to wonderful, amazing insights. I showed this to these two scholars who researched for decades, these Mizmorim, and they said it's a wonderful insight which characterizes these Mizmorim. And I want to move forward to read one Mizmor. I think it's a good attitude to have one short Mizmor and build around it a few messages. I cannot go in details, but I would like to show you the point how this Mizmor fits perfectly to this place. Lamnatzeach le'evet Adonai le'David, ne'um pesha la'rasha bekerev libi, ein pachat Elohim le'neged einav, ki hechelik elav be'einav, limtzo avono lisno, divrei piv, aven u'mirma, chadal la'zki le'itiv, aven yachshov al mishkavo, yityatzev al derech lotov, ra lo yimas, Adonai v'hashamayim chasdecha, emunatcha tshkakim, צדקתך כהררי אל, ומשפטך תהום רבה אדם ובהמה תושיע אדוני. מה יקר חסדך אלוהים, ובני אדם בצל כנפיך יחסיום. ירוויום מדשן ביתך, ונחל אדניך תשכם, כי עמך מקור החיים באורך נראה אור. משוך חסדך ליודעך, וצדקתך לישרי לב, אל תבואני רגל גאווה. ויד רשעים אל תנידני, שם נפלו פועלי עוול, דוחו ולא יכלו קום. a lot to say about this Mizmor. At the beginning, he describes the evildoer, the bad people, the Reshaim, what he has things in his heart and what he thinks. Let me show it here. What he thinks in his heart, how he functions. I look at these four psukim like the book by Erich Fromm. Erich Fromm wrote the book, The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness, where he describes the psychology, the psychopathology of crazy people who destroyed the world. He wants to understand the destructiveness. And here we have a very interesting phenomenon. Ne'um, pesha l'rasha bekerev libo. That is the speech. Ne'um, we say it in the Nevi'im. Ne'um, Ne'um Yeshayahu. Ne'um Hashem. So he listens carefully to the Rasha, who talks in the middle of my heart. Yes, Rashi and later commentator says it should be read bekerev libo. I don't agree. Everybody has a Yetzahara. He has bad attitudes, but he has to take care of his own attitude. These chapters talk about self-education, and it comes from his heart, to his eye, to his mouth, to his daily action, to his life, to his way of life. That is the evildoer and the influence, how he destroys the world. The second part talks, no, you are in heaven and you influence a beautiful world. Let it be absorbed by me. That is the message of Vav, Pasuk 6 to 11, to 10. And look at this beautiful alliteration we can never ever translate. Be'orcha nir'eh or. In your light, we will see light. Or aleph vav resh, nir'eh resh aleph. Your light reflects on the light which I will see. I'm a follower of Hashem. That's the fourth unit. I want to educate myself. I want to grow. No ABCCBA. It is a gradual growth, a flow of growth. The chesed from heaven comes down to the chesed from Hashem, which please bring me to your chesed. And at the end, it says very personally, I know there are bad people, but all the evildoers on the world, please, please bring me to you and not to the evildoers. So there is a clear thesis of the Reshaim, an antithesis, which is the chesed of Hashem, and the synthesis that he wants to be with Hashem and he does not want to be a Rasha. That's the spiritual world in a nutshell of 36. Another very short example, which I want to give you one, and there is I have over 25 examples for that. How does the entire book influence the last piece? And I will keep it very short. I take the first mizmor in chapter 40, which is the topic of next week's shiur. And here we have one word at the beginning, a sentence. Ki im betorat Adonai chifzo, uvetorato yehege yomam valayla. V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. The righteous, the ben Torah, he is the light in the Torah of the Lord. Torah, Chafetz, is mentioned in Tehillim only twice. We'll see in a moment. It appears also in Yeshayahu, in the next part. At the end, he says, as amanti, now I reflect, amanti, hineibati b'migilat sefer katuv alai, the entire Torah is written on my body. That's a great idea. Take the entire Torah and write it on your body. You are a walking Torah. I am a walking Torah. What does he say at the end of book one? He said, I completed this syllabus of the first book, all these four steps. It's not the righteous who is a great guy and the Torah Hashem Chetzo. It's me. I got there. I'm getting there. I'm the person who actually did it. Lasot retzoncha Elohai chafatzti. V'toratcha betoch me'ai. And at the end, it says, "Bezot yadati ki chafatzta bi." So that is the closing. That's the framework of the first book. Isn't that an amazing insight? That the entire book has a topic from A to Z. And if you compare A and Z, you got the entire message. And here, with all my enthusiasm for the biblical text, I'm a yeshiva boy, and I enjoy to read to understand the Gemara. Would I have learned only 9 years to understand the following Gemara, that would be worthwhile to do it. It says in the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah that Kol haosek b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh lo chafetzav, shenemar kim b'Torat Hashem chefetzo. God does everything he wants if the person does everything that God wants from him. And they learn that from this pasuk. But if you look at this midrash here, and here it doesn't say that God does something for him. It only says that he is the light in the Torah of Hashem. It doesn't say that Hashem wants that. So if I would have looked at this midrash, I would have recommended that these Chachamim should learn the Hebrew text. In the Hebrew text, it doesn't say that God is does what he wants. It seems they didn't understand the Pasuk and offer here a Midrash which had nothing to do with the text. But I do think that they had in mind that this Pasuk connects to the last one. In the last Pasuk, it says, God wanted me. I'm fully engaged in Limud Torah. I internalized what the Torah wants from me. Here I am. God wants me. Bezot yadati ki chafatzta bi. That's exactly the Midrash. So that's a beautiful example of this wonderful technique, the entire book, but it's actually much more of the entire book. It's actually Chazal understood it. Now I want to come to a very, very interesting piece of our lecture, the last piece. And we addressed it briefly in last week's shiur. In 34, we had an expression which appears only in Sefer Yeshayahu. The idea is that Yeshayahu, in his first part, he had 66 chapters. The first part talks about the first temple period. And the second part of Yeshayahu, from 40 to 66, talks about the second temple period. Why is it taken together? Not the topic for tonight, but it's actually a beautiful example for contextual interpretation of Yeshayahu. Whatever happened in the second temple period is a result of Yeshayahu in the first temple period, even not deserving to be its own book. He just wants to be the continuation, the second part, really an integral part of the book. The same is true in the Psalms. King David, his life, book 1 and 2 is his life. The end of the first temple period comes to an end in 72. The destruction is in 89. And here is the revival. So it has the same flow from the first temple period, whether it's a Navi, a prophet, or King David, which come back at the time of Ezra. It's the same idea, the same mind. Now we can see that if Tehillim covers the first temple period and the second one, time of Shmuel and Ezra and Nehemiah, they talk. These books talk to each other. The Tanakh is one book. The Bible is one book. There is not only a contextuality along Tehillim, there is an intertextuality with another book in a very deep meaning. Yeshayahu is the word of God, therefore the arrow from above down. And Tehillim is the same connection between man and God, but the way in the opposite direction. And that's the idea. It has a very deep religious meaning. Whatever I'm told by the Torah or by Yeshayahu, by the prophet, I have to respond to that and to give it a feedback. We looked at this example, and here I will take you through. It's another example. I did a lot of research and collected these examples, which are outstanding. They are amazing. And here, just a short note, which example is valid and which not. I deal with the statistics in my professional life in medicine. If we have a good statistics, we need specificity, and we have to make sure there is no false positive or false negative. If a word in the Bible, of course, we cannot study literature by these statistical tools, but they are helpful. If one expression of Nishberei Lev and Dakei Ruach in 34, we don't really understand who is meant. It makes sense to search where else is it mentioned in the Bible. If it appears 150 times, it might not be very specific. But if it appears only twice, it's like a key, it's a code, or we call it the Gzerah Shavah. And we discussed last week that these broken people who come back and are taught in 34 are those who came back from the exile. They are taught, they are the Nishberei Lev, and they are the Dakei Ruach. And he teaches them. That is the message that with the legacy of King David, the tradition of King David, Ezra teaches at the later stage those who come back after the exile, they come back at the beginning of the Second Temple period to Eretz Yisrael, to the city where David lived. And we spoke about these pictures in our time. In chapter 34, we have outstanding examples. A very special one. In chapter 35, he says, all my enemies who threaten me, I wish them to voehu shoah lo yeda, verishto atem taman asher taman til kedo, b'shoah yipolba. Of course, in these days, in our generation, shoah is the Holocaust, has another historical context. But in the Bible, he prays that those who brought disaster upon me, my enemies, they should be punished. Who are those people? You can check with Rashi, Radak, and Ibn Ezra. A lot of explanations, whoever the enemies are, we don't know. But if you look in Sefer Yeshayahu 47, the second part in Yeshayahu, the same sentence, the same syntax, Shoah lo teidai, exactly the same sentence. Not exactly, but the same syntax. And who is Yeshayahu addressing? He is addressing Bavel. Those who destroyed the first temple, they will be punished when Am Yisrael comes back. So they have an identity, these enemies. They have a name. They have a political and historical context, which gets very clear from Yeshayahu. You might ask, if it is so clear that Yeshayahu is the best commentator for Tehillim, why does Tehillim not mention them? If it's obvious in Yeshayahu, read chapter 47, it's very clear who it is. The answer is simple. Tehillim is a prayer book. Whoever the enemies are, you pray. It doesn't matter whether it's Babel, the Romans, medieval age, the Crusaders. It doesn't matter. That's the way I pray. It doesn't matter. Oh, I'm part of the prayer book of Am Yisrael with King David? Fine. I don't have one enemy, historical enemy in mind, as Yeshayahu did. So the common feature is important, and the difference is. Here in chapter 36, you see Hashem promise in Yeshayahu 51, V'tzidkati le'olam tiye, v'yeshuati le'dor dorim, alo atin ha'macharevet yam mei ta'om rabah, hasama ma'amakei yam derech la'avor geulim. God promises, I will help you. I will bring you back. I will redeem you. And in chapter 36, you see those redeemed. They just repeat what they just heard in Yeshayahu. And they answer the four same words. It's the combination which appears only here. Tzidkatcha k'harei el u'mishpatecha tahom rabah. Adam u'vehima toshia Adonai. It's a response. Hashem, you promised in Yeshayahu. That's your prophetic vision, Yeshayahu. Oh, I will go for it. I pray that I should deserve to fulfill it and experience it in my life. That's the ongoing dialogue of the person who prays Tehillim, the ongoing response, what he is told in Yeshayahu. If we don't read it together, we miss a very interesting point. Chapter 37, excellent correspondence. Yeshayahu says, Ki ani Adonai yohev mishpat. I'm God who loves justice. And in Sefer Tehillim, the psalmist says, Ki Hashem ohev mishpat. We know Hashem loves justice. The same three words appear only here. He will never neglect his chassidim. Or he says, V'amech kulam tzadikim l'olam yirshu ha'aretz. Your nation, Am Yisrael, coming back from the exile in Yeshayahu 2, they will they will inherit Eretz Yisrael because they are righteous. In Lamed Zayin, it says, in Tehillim, it says the same words. Tzadikim, Yeshua Aretz. We will live there as promised in Yeshayahu. So the psalmist is in an ongoing dialogue in responding to that. That is the most fascinating example, which we will elaborate next week in more detail. Here we have the chapter of Evet Hashem. In Yeshayahu's chapter 52 and 53 and other places, there are, the prophet is talking, who is the servant of God? In the Christian tradition, of course, it is Jesus who suffered, and he has suffered, and he was killed, and he has all the sins of the entire world. A lot of blood, a lot of people were killed because of misunderstanding. And here we have a very, 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 very elegant solution. Tehillim explains, Yeshayahu is ke'ilem velo iftach piv, the servant of God in Yeshayahu. That's exactly the silence in chapter 38 and 39. Exactly the same words. Ke'ilem lo iftach piv. Ne'elamti lo iftach piv. Next week we will see it's also mentioned in Yechezkel. That's a technique of the Bible to connect different contexts and to create a déjà vu. You only understand Tehillim if we understand who he had in mind when he said what he says there. We are the Avdei Hashem. We are the servants. And we saw at the beginning the servants. Podei Adonai Nefesh Avadav, 34. Hechafetz Shlom Avdo, 35. Ledavid Evet Adonai Mizmor, 36. That is the ongoing process. I want to be the servant of Hashem, as we were taught in Sefer Yeshayahu. And here another example, which is beautiful. We come to an end. Here a beautiful example, the pasuk, which we know very well from the Haftarot. Vatomer Tzion azavani Adonai va'adonai shecheichani. Zion, the city, Jerusalem. The Zionistic idea said, God has left me, has forgotten me. The word azavani appears only twice in the Bible, three times. Once in Yeshayahu and two times in Tehillim 38 and 40. What is he saying here, the psalmist? He says, I'm in trouble for my enemies. Libi sechachar azavani kochi. Velibi azavani. So what is he saying? He says, Zion is sad because Hashem has forgotten them. He says, I'm also sad. I'm not in Zion. He identifies himself with Zion on a very, very personal psychological level. So he quotes Yeshayahu, sometimes one word, but a very specific word, a word with a high statistical power. Only here. Of course he quotes it. If Tehillim says in next week's Shiur, chapter 40, Vayiten V'fi, Shir Chadash Tehila Le'Eloheinu, it is quoting Yeshayahu, Shiru L'Adonai Shir Chadash, Tehila Mikzei Haaretz. Tehillim, Yeshayahu speaks on a national, international level. Tehillim speaks on a personal level. It's his personal experience. And here we have the pasuk, which I quoted before. In Tehillim, we have a frame. Tehillim Aleph and chapter 40, 1 and 40. The righteous who is enthusiastic about learning Torah, kim betorat Adonai chifzo uvetorato yehege yomam v'layla. We said before that is the theory, the model, and at the end it's himself. Lasot retzoncha Elohai chafatzi v'toratcha betoch me'ai. I have it in my kishkes. I internalize the Torah. That's the process of Tehillim from end to the, from the beginning to the end. What happens with the Ben Torah, with the person who prays? I accept the Torah from the idea to my personal life. But it appears one more time in the Bible. Yeshayahu, second part. Adonai chafetz leman tzidko, yagdil Torah v'yadia. God is interested to show his Torah and that people should follow his Torah. If God is interested, Tehillim says, that's what I'm going to do. So here, this phenomena, I showed you here only, I think, 10 examples, and we had a short time to look at that. But that is a beautiful research, of course, modern technology, to analyze the text statistically. It's not the last method. We have to understand the message. The message is very clear. We saw the contextuality that the psalmist here from 34, the teacher, he applies it himself. We saw in 36 how he educates himself, how he is growing. At the beginning, he is just interested to survive in 35. In 40, he is much more than interested to survive himself. He teaches others. Here we see a very colorful development in these mizmorim. If we don't do it like that, we miss the point and we don't get the message. That is the contextual approach. The intertextual approach serves exactly the same idea. It's not his own voice. It's his voice from Hashem. And it flows together. It comes together. The intertextual approach message is Yeshayahu Dvar Hashem. I do what the teacher told me in 34, but the teacher told me follow the way of Hashem, which is Yeshayahu. So that is an outstanding example. I'm very enthusiastic about these findings, which is a wonderful combination, a multi-layer approach, how these seven mizmorim absorb these ideas and take them all together. So here the summary, I will not repeat it. I gave the summary at the beginning. So I hope that was clear. We showed the connection from 34. We looked at 36, the comparison between 35, 40, and 70. We saw the frame of the entire first book, and we looked at the intertextuality, a wonderful tool to analyze, I think, in a very, very special, totally innovative way, the message of the end of the chapter one. If at the beginning the purpose was to overcome the resha, the evil in the world, and to have a good example, King David, and to get closer to Hashem, there is now a higher level. How do I do it myself? How do I get there? Whatever I was taught before in a symmetric approach is from God. At the end, I grow myself. That, my dear friends, is the message of the first book. Next time, we should focus our last shiur on chapter 40. And I encourage you to read the chapter, to ask the good questions, and to see how the structure is there. We will have a close reading and summarize a few insights to Sefer Rishon. Any questions, I am happy to listen and might be even to answer.
Me? The questions are in the chat box. You see them in the chat box, the questions?
Now I see. I was busy the last hour.
Right. You can unshare your screen if you want, or you did already. Okay, yes. Just go through from, I guess we start from David Eisen. Both 34 and 145, which you sort of alluded to, not the 145, are written in alphabetical order. You see the question?
No, where is it?
Comment. Towards the top. Both Mizmor 34 and 144 written in alphabetical order. I assume this is relevant as both serve as the prologue to the subsequent Mizmorim. So you dealt on the 34, but not the Ashrei, of course.
I don't see it. Mizmor 38 written.
34, like you said, Lamed Daled, and Ashrei are written, or Tehillah LeDavid, really, Arimcha Elohim, are written in alphabetical acrostics, with both introduce the subsequent Mizmorim.
Right. So that's interesting that this technique, I'm now saying something important, says King David. If I want to say something important, I say Aleph Bet. I say it in a certain order. I didn't find additional. I was searching by this, comparing the same words, which I couldn't find, but it's the same idea. He makes a big statement, a declaration, and afterwards he listens. So what do you think, my friends? And they answer.
Okay, next here, Ruth, the repetition is the hallmark of Shlomo's Mishle and begs the same respectful approach. Shlomo is brilliant in his words, as was his papa.
You want to share it, Rabbi Jay, so I can see it? I have a.
You should look on your chat box. I don't know how to share this.
Okay, where is that?
On the chat box on the right.
Okay, which comment is it?
I went towards the top. It's Ruth Shane's topic. You could just go in order. Scroll, go up to the top and scroll down, and you'll see the comments, questions. You see it?
From...
But I'll just read it to you.
Please do so.
I'm sorry. So I'm saying the repetition is also the hallmark of Shlomo's Mishle and begs the same respect for the approach. Shlomo is brilliant in his word. I don't know what that word is. Wordsmithing, I'm not sure. As was his papa, King David.
Yes.
Wordsmithing.
Okay.
So it's the repetition in Shlomo. Yes, we have very interesting statements. There is a famous, I don't know if it's famous, but the joke says that in Sefer Tehillim, you have no clue how one mizmor connects to the other. In Sefer Mishle, you have no clue how one sentence connects to the other. And in Sefer Iyov, you have no clue how one word connects to the other, because they have a very it's a hard text. I don't think it's true for Tehillim. And in Sefer Tehillim, that's exactly what I want to show. It is a book, as you see here on the background, what we see here, right? What we see in the background. In Sefer Mishle, there is a technique of repetitions. Mm-hmm. There is a clear technique, and there is a beginning and an end. Just to say it for all the ladies in the audience, at the beginning, he says, we have to search for Chochmah, for wisdom, Sophia, the wisdom. And we have to learn Yirat Hashem and to change our life accordingly. At the very end of Sefer Mishle, we have Eshet Chayil Miyimtza, which has all the words from the very beginning of Sefer Mishle. And it's like the frame of the entire book. Mishle wants to say the highest level of an accomplishment of the wisdom of the entire book. What I'm telling you from the very beginning is at the end, that the Eshet Chayil, she takes that all together. So no doubt about it that in Eshet Chayil, we can find that very much. But if in Eshet Chayil, I gave you now the framework of the entire book of Tehillim, Eshet Chayil is the highlight. She is the personification of the wisdom. Who is Eshet Chayil in the Bible? There are only two places in the Bible where it says Eshet Chayil.
Yeah.
In the praise of Shlomo to Eshet Chayil as an ideal lady in her home. And it is Boaz in Megillat Rut who calls Rut ki Eshet Chayilat. So what does that tell us? You can say I'm a good darshan. I don't care. I'm happy to be a good darshan. And I'm very, very happy because the message is beautiful by darshanut. But there is much more than darshanut to that. If Eshet Chayil, the ideal lady, the person of Eshet Chayil in Sefer Mishle is the highlight of the entire book, what Shlomo says, it's actually my grandmother, not his grandmother, it's his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother.
Yes.
He's the Giyoret who came back from Sde Moav, and she converted, and she began the whole dynasty of the family, not the dynasty, the family. And 10 generations later, King David started that. Yes. That is Eshet Chayil. Yes. So if you think there are no proofs for intertextuality in other books, there are a lot.
Thank you, Rabbi Benny. I feel the same way. And now doing Mishle so much, I see everything that you're speaking about in Tehillim in the way I have found to teach Mishle. And it's not just it's disconnected words or disconnected phrases. They flow together. They make a lot of sense. Thank you.
Very good. So if you have examples, send them to me. I have a whole collection of beautiful, for instance, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, Vayafek Ratzon Mehashem, chapter 8. In chapter 21, it's the same syntax, very meaningful. I'm not sure, I cannot explain the location of each mizmor, why it's there and dafka there. But you will continue, Mishle. I will continue on Tehillim, so you will teach the next class.
Thank you.
Okay, just, you know, quickly, so we're running out of time, and just I'll put a couple of questions here together. Somebody asking why Mizmor Lamed Chet, Mizmor David Lahaskir. that sort of interesting introduction. What's there? David Eisen sort of makes an interesting comment. Is there any is the New Testament working off Tehillim, or as he puts it, plagiarizing from Tehillim? And also pointing out the Haftorah from this week, the mispronunciation of the words, Koveh, Koyei Hashem, right? Yachlifu Koach, is because we confuse it from Tehillim and from Yeshayahu. Okay, it's interesting. All right, that's, Rabbeni, did you understand what I said, or was I totally?
I just found it now at the end here. And yeah, one of the psukim.
The master of PowerPoint, it shouldn't be so hard to find, you know, chat. You should, you know.
Yes, but I'm just okay. The Kovei.
Yeah.
That's interesting. An interesting suggestion, I see.
And the one on Mizmor Lahazkir, Mizmor in Tehillim Lamed Chet.
Yes. So on Tehillim Lamed Chet, it's very, very obvious what we have in Tehillim Lamed Chet. Because if you compare Tehillim Lamed Chet, which says, I will read it for you, and if it's true for 70, that 70 repeats 40 and apologizes, oh, I'm quoting something earlier in the Bible, in the book. So that's obviously the message, and it's not just a memory loss. If in 38, he starts, I remember, Lahazkir, it appears only in two Mizmorim. 38 reads, Mizmor le David, Lahazkir, Adonai al beketzbecha tochicheni, uvechamatcha tiyesreni. This sentence in 38, 2, is a quotation from chapter 6, which we know from Tachanun. Adonai al be'apcha tochicheni, ve'al be'chamatcha tiyesreni. So he actually says in 38, don't think I lost memory and I start to repeat the same sentence over and over. I'm quoting now something from before. But if in chapter 6 he says, I'm exhausted, he says in chapter 38, I'm exhausted and I'm guilty, and I have to correct it. I have to make a change in my life. So it is lahazkir. The word lahazkir in Hebrew is to remember, but to do something. A secretary is called maskira. In English, when you say to remember, you reconnect, you remember yourself, you consider yourself as a member of the previous generation, the previous experience. It's the same idea. If he quotes a previous one, he says, I connect to what I said, but I take it to a next step. That is Lahazkir in 70 compared to 40, and in 38 compared to 6.
Okay, I think we'll let you go. I think we've got most of the questions in. And
what about my question about Yeshayahu and Tehillim? Because you seem to be, to be implying that Yeshayahu kind of came first and Tehillim comes second. But even if Ezra compiled it, aren't a lot of them written by David? I mean, 1 through 70 is David's life. So that's my question.
So that is a long question. I apologize. During the lecture, I was very busy. I was focusing on my PowerPoint. I couldn't read. So I'm happy to look at it later. If you send me an email, I'm happy to look at that. Next week's Shiul will focus on Mizmor Mem, where it is a lot of quotations, Yeshayahu, and I will try to look at it in your chat comments. Please write it again, or more specifically to my email, so I can actually have a contextual flow from Shiul 6 to Shiul 7. We apply contextuality also in the Shiulim. You see, I'm a student of what I'm teaching.
Okay, thank you.